us to rule.
Amen. I don't know how we do this without our many friends being here.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Lord, be my rear guard and my front guard. be a fence around me, Jesus.
Bringing
several hundred dollars worth of equipment with me. And you think about things like
that. Yes.
And as I was walking, I eased because I thought about who was with me when I was walking.
Amen.
So we surrounded, amen.
Amen.
Our scripture reading is Psalm 29 from the New Living Translation. Let us read together.
Honor the Lord, your heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone shouts, glory! The Lord rules over the flood waters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace.
Lord, we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for the strength, Lord, that you have given us, Lord. Even in our weakness, Lord. Your strength is made perfect. Lord, we're thanking you, Lord, for each and every person that is here today, Lord. Each and every person that could make it, Lord. We know you, Lord. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to know you, to love you, to experience you, Lord. And today, Lord, everyone that takes part in this service, Lord, this is to glorify you, Lord. This is to lift your name up. This is to, Lord, put that fire up under us, Lord, so that we can serve you and love you as you should be loved and served. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.
So that's why when we come together, this is why we read scripture together, we sing together, to remind us who we're here for. Not ourselves, but for all of us to be together and lift up the name of the one that we all agree is worthy to be praised. Is he worthy?
Yes.
That's it.
Is he worthy?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hey y'all, good morning. Hey,
good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, it's October 1st, y'all.
That's real talk.
That's crazy. That's what it is. So, every Tuesday, 4 o'clock, Minister Richard Overall, Blog Talk Radio. Wednesdays at 6, we have our Bible class. You know, you need a textbook if you want to participate. So if you need a book, reach out to Pastor O. Tell Pastor O, tell Sheila, go to the church website, rfcm.org. Naomi is going to be teaching this week the lesson entitled God Confirms Gideon's Mission. So that's the lesson. So tune in on Wednesday at 6. Friday at 7, Kathy is on Blog Talk with Bring Back the Family. So new announcement. I need y'all to pay attention to this one. So on beginning Monday, November 27th. So y'all have a ways to go. But put it on your calendar. November 27th at 6 o'clock, we will have a new Bible class entitled Biblical Giving, which is going to be taught from Pastor O's book entitled Biblical Giving. All right, so if you're a member of Run for Christ Ministries or if you are a visitor and attend, I think you said at least once or twice a month, you know, reach out to Pastor O because the book is going to be gratis for those who are Run for Christ Ministry members who didn't buy it initially. But if you want to participate in the class, you need the book. So let Pastor know so he can get you a book free of cost to you. Amen?
All right.
All right. Okay, Demetrius is not here today, but she did want me to make sure, in addition to you guys going on the church website, Jonathan provides tons of jobs on a regular basis. There's tons of resources, books, classes. Y'all know everything is on the church website. Demetrius wanted me to mention that WC3 is having a child support help situation. So I don't know if it's because you need to collect some child support or if you need to pay child support or if you want to, you know, dispute the child support or say you don't have any kids to be paying child support for. Whatever the case may be, child support related, it's at WC3 on October 14th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. All right, so if you need that resource, and there's a lot of people that do, WC3, October 14th. So just check the website because Beatrice did say that a lot of information was updated under the resources. So, but she wanted to stress that one since it's coming up soon. Let's see. Okay, so today is First Sunday and we have communion, so there's no altar call. But do you put the list up? It's there. All right, right behind me. There you go. So I probably have most of what's on there. So just to cover, just pray for everybody everywhere all the time, okay? Pray for the young man, Danelle, who was, his funeral was yesterday? Yep. So just keep, I read an article, just keep his family in your prayers. Again, our young people, they have a right to live. They have a right to flourish. They have a right to grow up, grow old, have their own kids, their own families, have a life. And so this young man was clearly a wonderful young man. And there's always people that have negative things to say, but it doesn't matter. Our kids have a right to grow up and live. Okay? And they don't, God has a purpose for everything. And it's hard to understand that when you see a young man who was gunned down doing great things because of whatever. It doesn't matter what the reason was. The fact that he was 18 and now his family is without him. Okay, and again, like I said before, it's not just the family that is grieving. There's collateral damage when you hear about things like that. So we just need to continue to pray for our young kids, our youth, our children, because just a lot going on. Okay, birthdays, it's October. All right. Amen. So, these October people tired of y'all September people. Okay. So, I've been talking about y'all all month long. They over y'all. Okay. So Pastor Terrence Tate, his birthday is on October the 9th.
Okay.
Pastor Janice Tate, she said her birthday last week was this week. I mean, it's on the 10th. So Pastor Janice, say birthday on the 10th. Quanaya is on the 15th. Deaconess Loretta is on the 15th. Jedediah is on the 16th. Cameron is on the 29th. And Micah is on the 29th. So Janice said October people, they celebrating their birthdays all month long.
Yes, that's right.
So if you want to give her stuff now, you can.
Nicely said.
That's essentially what she said. So Okay. All right. So yesterday and the prior Saturday, we had 2 weeks of Youth Saturday on Blog Talk Radio, which was really good because we got to hear Hunter. Hunter read yesterday, right? Hunter and Harley. Both the girls got on there to read the declaration and opening scripture. So it's always really good to hear the kids reading. So I enjoyed the devotional that I read yesterday, and I think it's kind of appropriate because we like to do our own thing. We don't really like to do what God wants us to do. So I'm going to read the devotional that I read yesterday on Blog Talk. So it's entitled Meology or Theology. And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. I read his devotionals a lot on Saturdays. So it says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." And that's Psalm chapter 86, verse 5. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good.
Amen.
That is a popular little phrase that is quoted often in Christian circles. I really like that phrase, but here's the burning question. Do you and I really believe it? Is God really good all the time? So bad circumstances. When Paul and Silas preached the gospel in Philippi, a riot broke out. Paul and Silas were deemed troublemakers. The incited crowd beat them repeatedly with rods and had them thrown into prison. The jailer confined them to the innermost part of the prison and put their feet in the stocks. Paul and Silas were beaten, bloody, and bruised. Their bodies ached in pain as they languished in prison. And why were they there? Had they done something wrong? No, they were there for doing right and obeying God's call. Yet this was the bad circumstance that befell them as a result of their obedience. Do we need to rethink that phrase, God is good all the time? So when meology gets in the way, one of the big problems you and I face each day is the problem of inconsistency. Like I said, I'm the queen of being consistently inconsistent. That's me personally. The Bible tells us great and wonderful things about God and his care and concern for us. Yet when we review the circumstances of our own lives, we can easily start to question the truth of God's word. God, if you really are good and really care about me, then why did my loved one die? If you are really good and really care about me, then why am I so lonely? If you are really good and really care about me, then why is my marriage so terrible? If you are really good and really care about me, then why am I suffering so much? Why is my life so hard and such a mess? If you are really good and really care about me, then why has all this bad come into my life? What gives, God? Meology views the truth of God through the lens of our own personal circumstances. If you and I allow meology to determine our theology, God will not seem to be good all the time, nor will he seem to be a God who loves us with an everlasting love and who has a wonderful plan for our lives. So knowing the truth, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What is the truth? Regardless of what may be going on in our lives, God is good all the time, and he has a good plan for you and me. His word is true, and his promises are rock solid. He cares for us so much so that Jesus died a brutal and excruciating death on the cross to pay the price of redemption for you and me. So what did Paul and Silas do in their bad circumstances? Gripe, complain, quit? No, they prayed and sang hymns of praise to God. They trusted the good heart of God even in their bad circumstances. And God heard their prayers and sent an earthquake that opened the prison doors, and the jailer and his entire family ended up receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. What a miracle by the hand of a good and gracious God. No matter what you may be facing today or what has happened in your past, do not allow your meology to determine and derail your theology. God works in ways you and I cannot understand. He allows hardships to befall us, not because he does not care, but because he has a higher plan and purpose. You can trust God in any and every situation. He really is good all the time, and he really does care for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Time for offering during this next song. You don't know what happens. The envelope's ready. The deacons will be passing the basket as you stand to your feet. By the way, I hope y'all know that Alex is in the house today. What an appropriate song, right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Who else is gonna think about it? Definitely don't want that fire up, man.
Oh, no.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He praised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about
because you already know.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
That's it.
Yes.
All right.
That's why we do this. Community. We come together to remember. Scripture, Apostle Paul admonishes the people to not do this unworthily. In other words, what he's saying is, when you come together like this, don't be worried about, you know what, my cracker broke, or that grape juice tastes kind of funny, or I need some more, my cup too low. Because that's what was happening. People was coming in, eating up all the food, bringing up all the wine, getting drunk, going to sleep, and then they wonder why they all had diabetes and was having heart attacks and dying. Because they entered the table without thinking about the reason for the table.
Amen. Yes.
They entered without thinking that somebody paid a price.
Yes.
Yes.
So we could have a seat at the table.
Yes. Yes.
Come on.
Somebody took a whooping that was beyond any other whooping that anybody else ever took.
Yes.
And had his body broken.
Yes.
For us.
Yes.
Taking it. And then that same somebody came down from heaven in human form, had the very blood that he spoke into being run through his body.
Amen.
And then he bled all of it out as a sacrifice for our sin.
Yes.
For my sin.
Yes.
And your sin.
Yes.
And everybody who doesn't even know about him sin.
Yes. Yes.
Say that.
And God said, I accept it.
Come on.
Yes. Yes.
So when you remember that and you drink, you're not thinking about yourself.
Come on.
But you're thinking about the one whose blood was shed for you.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All God's people, what do you say?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, to worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, to worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Y'all want to keep standing, it's all right, too. Ooh, that was beautiful. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Psalms 118, verse 26. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall, a runner of races in the spiritual and the natural.
Amen.
Pastor O is bringing us another word from the Second Testament, and we will listen with ears to hear to get the knowledge we need to move in a way that pleases the Most High God.
All right.
We will be enjoying another feast prepared by Pastor O for the stomachs and the hearts of our inner men.
Okay.
This is part 19 of his sermon series from the New Testament. Today's sermon is from the text 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5 and verse 22. And it reads as follows. Let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy, for prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened. Verse 22. So you see that speaking in tongues is a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for the benefit of believers, not unbelievers. Amen.
Amen.
So, I really need to listen with ears to hear on this message because I don't get it at all. Let us get a new revelation of our Lord in this message prepared for us by our very own shepherd. Church, repeat after me. Mm-hmm. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen.
Make it plain first.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Where we were staying at, guess what the continental breakfast was? Pancakes and ham. Yeah, Prince was working in the kitchen. Amen. He serves pancakes with grapes, but we had pancakes and ham. I don't even know how you come up with a menu like that. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, first I want to thank you for Pastors Jonathan, Janice, Sarah, and Terrence for holding the church down and all of the deacons and deaconesses for making things work even while we were gone. I want you to bless them, Heavenly Father, as they blessed us, that we were able to get away and relax and recuperate and rekindle our relationship. So we thank you for that, Father. And now, Lord, help me to preach this word. Help us to get an understanding of why you gave it to give the tongues. And it is a thing, but prophecy is a greater thing. And help us to leave knowing that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me.
Okay.
okay? Amen. I think we got that brother asking you got to work on your boy over there, okay? Amen. What do I usually say? Lord, bless my ears. So to hear your word today.
Lord, bless my heart.
Bless my heart.
Lord,
receive your word today.
I acknowledge to you.
My ways and my thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be changed, to be transformed, change the way I think,
the way you do.
So I can always know
your
good,
pleasing,
and perfect will for my life.
In
Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We can do that part.
Right.
But the other part,
you know, I blame Joel Osteen for that because when the Lord had me, when I needed a whole lot of encouragement, that's who I go to. Because if Joel Osteen can't make you feel like you're worth a million, okay, if he can't make you say, okay, I can do that, then you really know what you're going to do. Amen. Because that boy, what God called him to do was inspire people. And that is exactly, he will not do anything else but that, okay? And I thank God that he have us all doing different things. Just like we learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God has given the church a whole lot of gifts. Not everybody has the same gift. And in that regard, today we're going to be talking about tongues, speaking in tongues. I know you've seen it, and some of your most favorite preachers do it a lot, okay? They just blurt it out with nobody to interpret what they said. And so today we want to talk about that to get some understanding on it, okay?
Right.
Now, Paul starts this out by telling them, because he just finished, chapter 13, and what did he talk about?
Love.
Okay? He said that if you have all of the gifts, because they were thinking, I'm great, I'm awesome, I have these gifts, right? Paul was saying, well, if you don't have love accompanied with that gift, if love is not what motivates you in the use of that gift, then you're like an empty wagon going down the street, making a lot of noise, carrying nothing. Amen? So he says, everything that we do for the Lord has to be motivated by love. We, you know, some in the world, they say, fake it till you make it. I guess that's okay, amen? Because love is what? An action? A lot of us think love is an emotion. But love, if you look at what Paul said, what love isn't and what love is, all of those are what? Actions, right? It's not, has nothing to really do. Emotions help us, since we're a three-part person, right? Body, soul, spirit. That soul part of us is also three-part, right? Mind or intellect, will, and emotions. When our mind comes up with something and our will agrees with that something, then we act it out through our emotions. For instance, my mind say, be mad at Crystal. So, and my will say, yeah, we're going to go ahead and be mad at Crystal. And then my emotions are going to say, give it a look. Amen. So my emotions make the end result. They bring about the end result. Love is not that. Love is what you do. What if Jesus felt like going to the cross, but didn't go? Amen. What, could he say he loved us?
No.
Enough to pass away and be crucified for us? It is what he did on the cross that demonstrates his love for us. Saying I love you is one thing. Loving somebody is a whole other thing.
Yes.
Amen. So Paul says, yes, you had these gifts. Yes, God has given you certain enablements that make you able. I just been reminded that I forgot my thingy. But anyway, I have a habit of not preaching with a thingy, so I'm going to go ahead and preach without a thingy. You know, y'all know I've been using my little thingy.
Kindle.
Yeah. If you
cough one time, she was going to get you, so
I'm
don't get your thingy.
Anyway, Paul wanted them to know that it is important that you have this gift from God, but you have to operate in love. Amen. The worst way to go and try to witness to somebody, prophesy, speak God's word in plain language, okay, that they can hear and understand. The worst way to do that is not in love. And a lot of us do that. What we do is we try to convict people of sin. See, you're a sinner. what you're doing is wrong. But Jesus can help you. But what you're doing is wrong. And if you don't listen to and accept Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Well, you just told me he loved me. Now you're telling me if I don't do this, I'm going to hell. So we cannot operate outside the sphere of love, right? In 13, he said, now these three exist. There's faith. Amen. We discovered in heaven, you don't need a whole lot of that. And there's hope in heaven. What do you hope for if you already got it? So you don't need a lot of that. But in heaven, love. Love is eternal. Okay? So love has to be the motivating force behind what we do. Now, what Paul is going to talk about is what he started talking about really back in chapter 8. All of these have to do with their relationships with one another, especially 9. All these chapters have to do with their relationship with one another. So he admonishes them right at the beginning, look, let everything you do be motivated by love. Let God's love, agape love, unconditional love, love that just accepts, amen, love that believes, love that hopes, love that thinks the best of people, that kind of love. I believe I was listening to Jonathan yesterday when he was talking about the man at the blind man who was sent to the pool of Siloam, and how this man was blessed because of his obedience. But when he started out, he talked about, asked the question, who sinned that this man was born blind? Right there. Amen. Right there. That their motivation is off.
Yeah.
They're not saying, how can we heal this man? What can we do about this man? But why is he in this situation? Amen. But what did Jesus see? Jesus saw a blind man who needed sight. Jesus saw a man for no reason at all. It's what Janice is teaching us, okay, about sin and how it entered the world and how you can be born into this world, have two eyes, but they can't see.
Yeah.
So he's born this way. It was nobody's fault. But what did Jesus see? He saw somebody who needed to be loved on.
Amen.
He saw somebody who needed to be healed. And so Paul wants them to have that motivation, that thought, when they think about the giftings that God has given them. Now, he's going to contrast two gifts in this chapter. One is called prophecy. And just to make it plain, that is just speaking the word of God.
Amen.
Now, you can prophesy the future. That's prophecy as well. And you can prophesy over somebody's life. That's prophecy as well. You can proclaim the word of God, as it says in Matthew chapter, 28 and 20? Preach the gospel to every creature. What that word there means is proclaim. And what that word means is preach. What that word means is prophesy. In other words, tell somebody. Talk to somebody. But talk to them in a language that they can understand. Talk to them in a way that they'll receive it.
Right.
Talk to them in a way of love. Demonstrate God's love in your speech. So what he's going to do here is say that tongues is a thing. Amen. It is a gift from God. But then prophecy is better. And he's going to make his argument in the first 22 verses. Okay, well, I think 23 verses. He's going to make an argument in favor of speaking God's word in plain language. We've all seen it. We've all heard it. Big time preachers, right? They get the audience hyped up, everybody hyped up, everybody shouting hallelujah, everybody, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, okay? Out of nowhere. What if I got up here and preached this whole sermon in an unknown tongue? The whole sermon in an unknown tongue. Well, what if I got up here and preached the whole sermon in French? Amen. Amen. What Paul is trying to let them know that, yes, tongues is a gift from God.
Yes.
But he's going to break those two gifts down and show the difference between them. When a person speaks in tongues, they are speaking a mystery. God has revealed them a deeper vision of the salvation that we have. Right? But they speak to God alone. Right? They speak to God alone. Now, when Peter got up and preached, and 3,000 people were saved, they were responding to what they heard. Right? They were speaking to them in tongues. But these were known tongues. That is not what Paul is talking about here. Paul, you heard Rebecca read that tongues then are a sign, not for believers, but for who?
Unbelievers.
Yes.
But there are certain churches who have built their whole denomination on tongues, saying, this is evidence of you being saved. And if you don't speak in tongues, then you ain't saved. Mm-hmm. Amen? That is of the apostolic faith. They believe that everybody who is born again, tell me, when the 3,000 folks responded to Peter's sermon because they were convicted by the Holy Spirit, how many of them spoke in tongues?
None.
Now, when Peter went down to Samaria to confirm the work that was going on down there, now those folks did give evidence of salvation in tongues. When Peter went down to Cornelius' house and he preached to Cornelius the centurion, how many of them, when they received the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues? So tongues then is not a sign that you're saved. God uses signs to get people's attention. But it's always the word of God that gets them saved.
Yeah.
Romans 10 and 17 says, consequently, faith comes by what? Hearing somebody speak in tongues?
No,
by hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul says he would that they all spoke in tongues.
Mm.
Okay, every one of them. But he would rather they all speak prophecy. Mm-hmm. In other words, speak plain language that people can understand the word of God. People cannot understand you. I think people blurt out in tongues so they can be important. So we'll think they're super spiritual. Oh, wow. Right. Wish I was that spiritual. Right. I ain't never spoke in tongues. I must not be saved, or I ain't as spiritual as they are. Those people aren't spiritual. Those people are completely and utterly disobedient to God.
Okay.
They're trying to hype somebody up and make them think that they are spiritual, but they're not.
Come on, Pastor.
Because if they were spiritual, they would obey the teaching on speaking in tongues.
Right.
Paul says when you speak in tongues, right? Speak to yourself and God. Keep silent in the church.
Amen.
And he is talking about the local organized congregation of baptized believers. He ain't talking about two Christians standing around somewhere being the church. He's talking about in the church, keep silent. Because folks was around there just blathering all over the place. You don't tell me to shut up. I got the gift of tongues. I'm a tongue. No. Paul gave instructions with that. I mean, when we speak in tongues, it's like speaking a foreign language to somebody who don't speak the language.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
But they were trying to make themselves a little bit above you, a step above you. But when they do that, get this, their minds are unfruitful. Paul said, I pray that you all be able to interpret. Why?
Wow.
Because even your mind is unfruitful.
Wow.
I pray in the spirit a lot. Okay? I'll go down there into my little basement, into my cubbyhole, to my manhood. Amen. I'll go down into my manhood and get before the Lord, and all of a sudden I am in the spirit and I am praying in the spirit. And when I come out of that, I ask the Lord, what did I say? What did I ask for $1 million? I hope I asked for $1 million. I don't know what went on, but I know something went on How many of y'all know when Jesus got touched by a woman who had issues? Y'all remember when Nikki preached that a woman, a sister got issues? When that woman touched Jesus, he said, virtue is going out of me. Amen. You can feel something on the inside happening. Something is taking place. Something's going on between me and the Lord. And I'm a face full of tears. There we go with that again. Amen. I'm a face full of tears and I have no idea why this is happening, but it's happening. And I know it's between God. I don't even know what's going on. And that's what Paul is telling them about tongues, that their minds are unfruitful. And that means the people that they're speaking in tongues around or to, their minds are unfruitful unless they can interpret. If they have somebody there who can interpret what they're saying, then the whole church can be edified by it. But other than that, not even they are edified by it, let alone the folks around them. Only God knows what you're saying. So he gave specific rules on that. If you're going to do that, then let it be between you and God. Keep silent in the church unless there's someone who can interpret. Now, Peter must have been somewhat of a tongues interpreter. And why do I say that? Because when he went to Samaria and those folks gave evidence by speaking in tongues, how did Peter know it was real? How did he know they just weren't blathering something out? How do they know they weren't overflowing in emotion? And this came out. It happened with Paul. Paul was passing, I believe in chapter 18, he was passing through the interior of Ephesus. A guy named Apollos had come through there and preached, but Apollos hadn't yet heard about Jesus and how we need to believe in him to be saved. But he did hear about John's baptism and how you should repent and get ready to receive Jesus. So he preached to them John's baptism. Paul ran across these people and he said something was wrong with them. Something's out of place. And he asked them, literally asked them, have you heard of Jesus? And they said, no, we ain't heard about none of that. And then Paul knew right away they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so Paul preached to them Jesus. He said, you believed in John's baptism, right? That was a baptism to repentance. You need to believe in Jesus to get salvation. So Paul preached Jesus to them. And guess what? The Holy Spirit fell on them just like it did on the day of Pentecost, just like it did at Cornelius' house. And guess what? They gave evidence by speaking in tongues. How did Paul know that was evidence? Unless he could interpret tongues. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of y'all. But I would rather speak five words you can understand, five intelligible words than what? 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. What good would that do me? Or if you get impressed by that kind of nonsense, then you probably be like, oh, he is super holy. He's been speaking in tongues for an hour. He is not just holy, he's super holy. Ooh, I don't know what he's saying, but I just feel blessed standing there. That is crazy. That's like these people who be blurting this out. No eye have seen, no ear have heard what God got in store. Somebody say amen. No, I ain't saying amen. I can't see my blessing. I can't hear my blessing. I can't even think about it. And I'm supposed to say amen. The very next verse says what? But God has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. But you don't never hear that part, do you? No. You just hear, I have seen. All that is emotion. That's all it is emotion. And so Paul is telling you, look, I speak in tongues more than all y'all. So tongues then is a thing. It is a gift from God. But it does not supersede prophecy. It does not supersede speaking the word of God in plain language that people can understand. If I come in here and speak in tongues for a whole hour,
everybody be sleeping.
Hey, man, they'd be sleeping and I'll need a sleep wake up blessing. Amen. For a whole hour. Amen.
Amen.
We tend to go for the gifts like the gifts of healing, the gift of miracles. But let me tell you something. Those gifts are used to get people's attention.
That's right.
Prophecy is what's going to lead them to Christ. Okay? The gift is just used to get their attention. Jesus used it all the time. He would do something and they would be ready to listen. Okay? Jesus would always follow it up with the word of God. When that woman ran back to town and said, come see a man who did what? Told me everything I ever did. That's the miracle, right?
Yeah.
But the people, after they heard Jesus, guess what they said, Alitris? They said, we came out here because you said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And that caused them to come out and see this man who could tell you everything you ever did, know all about you. But they said, we believe on him because we have heard him for ourselves.
Amen.
And he didn't stand there and reveal everybody's future.
Amen.
He preached the word of God.
Yeah.
Amen. I think it was Peter who went down to Samaria. And Peter did a miracle down there in Samaria. And the miracle got everybody's attention. And then Peter preached the word of God. And then folks got saved. Miracles don't save people. Amen. Pardon, you can go and part the Red Sea. That is not going to lead anybody to Christ.
Nope.
You can go up there and make the Detroit River part. Unless you ask them, are you willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish? Do you believe that? Yes. You can't believe a miracle and get saved. You can't. A miracle will cause you to listen to the words that can get you saved.
Yes.
But it's that prophecy that's going to get you saved. Mm-hmm. Paul says, what if a person started playing an instrument? Have you ever heard little kids when they're learning? Remember these back in school, they used to give us these flutes?
The black flutes.
Yeah, you remember how annoying it was when a whole bunch of people got to playing together and they just got the flute? It just sounds like a bunch of noise. Until you learned how to hit those what? Notes. Okay? And notes make other people in the band know what time it is and when to come in on that song. Paul says if you're just blowing and making noise, then how can the horn section know when to come in if you're over here just making noise? They're waiting for a specific note to play. Just like when we were listening to the song. They had to wait to a certain part of the song to start singing. Amen?
Okay.
So Paul says, if you are playing out of key, or get this, when I was in the Navy, they had this thing called reveille. Okay? And every morning at 5 o'clock, reveille would happen. Okay? They would start blowing that trumpet or playing it through the speakers, and you knew what that meant. But what if you woke up one morning and the black flute people was on the other side just making a bunch of noise? Well, I'm going to pull my blanket up and go back to sleep because that ain't what? Reveille. Or what if we're army? We're getting ready to go into battle. I'm the trumpeter. I'm the bugler, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know how to play. So I get up there and start playing some Miles Davis. Amen. Because the spirit of Miles Davis didn't hit me. I'm just walking around. Y'all know how Miles used to do. And then, Ed, I just walk off stage. Amen. How will the army know what to do? Amen. So Paul says, look, the person who's playing the bugle has to blow the charge. And then they know to charge. Remember when we just dealt with, who taught that?
Going around
the walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
Rebecca
taught that, right?
Yeah.
on the seventh time around, on the seventh day, what were they looking to hear?
The ram's horns.
The ram's horns.
The ram, yeah.
The ram's horns. They wanted to hear those ram's horns.
Yeah.
Because, see, Joshua, while the ram's horns are blowing, it's not like he's going to be able to say, "Charge!" But he gave them a word. When you hear the ram's horns blowing, amen. Amen. Then go. So praise the Lord. The walls crumble. Then you go in. Amen.
Yes.
But what if they took them ram's horns and just started cleaning them? Are we going to blow these horns? It's the seventh day. Now it's the eighth day. They're still cleaning their horns. They were listening for a particular sound. And so Paul says that we should make every effort to be clear and plain in our speech when we speak the word of God to people.
Okay.
Sometimes we can start talking so biblically that people can't even understand us then. And we're speaking plain language.
Uh-huh. Right.
But what we're doing is trying to be important. We're trying to be smart.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Yeah.
We're trying to let them know we're above you in our knowledge of God. And so you can't get on this level. See, I talk to preachers and deacons. I don't talk to regular lay people because they can't get me because I'm up here with Jesus. Okay? Well, nobody up there with Jesus that need to be saved. There's people down there in the world who need to hear a plain word of God.
That's right.
They don't need no intellectualist. They need somebody who can explain the word of God. Jesus' disciples would often come to him and say, "We heard what you said in the way, but it sounded like tongues. Can you break that down for us?" And Jesus would break it down for us. Guess what he said to them? He asked them, "Why do you speak to the people in parables? Might as well rather be speaking in tongues. Why do you speak to them in parables and riddles?" And Jesus told his disciples, "Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Now, why has God given it to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Because to them it's not. And he's going to use us to go to them. And what is called an apocalypse. An apocalypse is literally an unveiling, a revealing of something that was previously hidden. You cannot do that with tongues. You cannot cause something that was previously unknown to be known speaking through tongues. But tongues is a thing. Tongues is a sign. But tongues is not a sign for believers. Tongues is a sign for unbelievers. It gets their attention. Peter got the attention of 3,000 people. Right? They were speaking in known languages, but to people who didn't speak that language, it was a what? Unknown tongue. It got their attention. It was a sign. God uses miracles. God uses these things just to get people's attention. But it is not the whole thing. Only plain language is going to make a difference. But they were making a whole thing out of it. They were in church just going wild, just like we see it today. It really bothers me when I see preachers who I know should know better blurting out in tongues, and I wait on the interpreter, and person ain't got one. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't know what you just said. I don't even care about what you just said.
Commercial,
right? Exactly. Go to commercial, okay? Because I don't know what you're talking about. You done lost me. Speak some plain language to me. Tell me in the language that I speak that Jesus died for me.
Amen.
That he was raised on the third day. Paul says tongues then is a sign not for believers, but unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers. Wow. What is he talking about now? Prophecy is not for unbelievers. When we just said, if we prophesy to people in plain language, if we proclaim the word of God in plain language, they can get it. What he is talking to is a church. And this is something that we need to get. Church is for Christians. Church is not for unsaved. The church is not a soul-saving station. You know, that come out of Catholicism from the years 400.
Right. Right.
And you know why the church was a soul-saving station? Because they created a rule. The Catholic Church created a rule, and the rule stated that only a person ordained or allowed to by the Pope can literally give the Blessed Sacraments or lead somebody to Christ. So the church became a soul-saving station. Ed, you couldn't go over to your neighbor's house and say, you know, I've been living next door to you for a while. Do you go to church? I want to talk to you about Jesus. And your neighbor say, well, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, guess what? Like, I think it was not Dominic Guzman, but Ignatius Loyola. They locked him up for 8 years for preaching without being ordained.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Even though all the people he talked to, if they accepted Christ, they weren't really in Christ. Why? Wow. Because he wasn't ordained by the church to go out and proclaim the gospel. You had to literally come to the church to receive the Blessed Sacraments. And guess what? You know how they believe in what's called transubstantiation? Well, transubstantiation is when I give you this bread, literally that's all they give you today. They say that's enough. It incorporates the bread and the wine. When I give this to you, because I'm authorized by the Pope to give it to you, it has, without saying it, just like baptism, without saying it, it has a saving efficacy, a saving effect. In other words, the magic won't happen if Elytris just give me communion. But if Jonathan give me communion, then when I take it, Jeffrey, it will turn into the body and blood of Jesus inside me. And that has something to do with my salvation. And you say, Pastor, how can you say that? Because how do you excommunicate somebody? What you do is you excommunicate them from the Mass. You dismiss them from the Mass. And if they cannot receive the Mass, then their salvation is gone.
Oh, wow.
If a mayor or a governor or a president of a country did not agree with the Pope, well, guess what would happen? They would place what they call an interdict over the whole city. Amen?
What?
And an interdict means everybody in that city just got excommunicated.
Wow.
And when them people find out, Shirley, that they just been excommunicated because of the mayor, what you think they gonna do with the mayor? God wants us to speak the word of God in plain language. Plain English. As simple as we can get it. So that people can hear it and be blessed by it. So that people can hear, understand, and be saved. Rather than going to them and speaking in an unknown tongue. Because tongues is not a sign that somebody is saved or super spiritual. Tongues is a sign to get people's attention. Every time I hear somebody do it, they get my attention. But when they don't follow it up by telling me what they said, then I think they're crazy. Amen. I don't think you're super spiritual because you're disobedient to God.
That's right.
If you don't have an interpreter, you have to be silent in the church and speak only to God. So tongues tongues is not a sign for us. It's a sign that gives us an opportunity to speak to them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We good?
Yes.
We know what tongues is all about?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Paul closes this chapter out by giving them some instructions. He says, when you come together, how is it that every one of you has a prophecy? And now, everybody, there's another problem. Not only do you have these people over here blurting out in tongues, but now you have these people over here all got a message. What if Jonathan, what if Terrence, what if Sarah, what if Janice, all of us got a message? And we're all preaching at the same time. Paul says, well, to keep order in the church, let this one go, let that one go, and let this one go in order. He also says if there are those who are going to speak in tongues, again, keep silent in the church unless you have an interpreter so that everybody in the church can be edified.
Okay.
Their service, as you heard Janice talking from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, was out of order. Amen?
Okay.
Folks were getting sick. Some folks were even dying because they were misusing the gifts and the talents that God had given them. And so he's trying to teach them how to have order in the church and how to prioritize what's more important. Some folks, if you miss communion, they feel like they lost their salvation. But that's not true. That's just remembering the connection that we have with Jesus Christ. We are reminded of how we got saved in the first place.
Okay.
We're reminded of our relationship and our connection to Him. We recall that. We don't forget that. And the Lord said, as often as you do it, you can do it every day. You can do it once a month. You can do it once a year, once every 10 years. But every time you do it, it has the same purpose. It's to remember Jesus. And so Paul wants to put everything in order. And he wants them to not operate in anything that's not motivated by God's love, by agape love. And he wants them, like the Lord wants all of us, to speak the word of God plain. To make it plain.
Yes.
Not just the preacher. But you have people that you're around. You have people on your job. You got people on your family. Make it plain, and make it plain in love. Don't make people think you're better than them. Don't make people think you're more holier than they are because you go to church.
Yeah.
Right.
Help people to understand that God loves them just as much as he loves you.
Yeah.
And just because you don't have that gift, okay, every one of us had the gift of prophecy.
Yeah.
Every one of us has been told by Jesus to go out and tell somebody about him.
Okay.
And when we do that, we should not be so to the point where, you know, every time I ask people who don't go to church why you don't go, what they tell me is about us. They don't say they don't believe in Jesus. They don't say they don't understand God. They don't understand us. That's what they don't understand. Because we're always talking about church. We're always talking about I'm holy, I'm this, and I'm that. And we act real different than Jesus. They read the Bible and we're nothing like him. And that's why they say they don't go to church. And I'm going to close with this. When Minister Lachelle started her ministry, she had it inside the church. They would come through the front door and come right there to those tables, okay, and they would get what they want. But guess what? Nobody would come in. So she took it out the church
right. And
put it in front of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It exploded like it is to this day. People didn't want to come into church because it felt like if they come in there, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, they was comfortable out here, but why won't people come to church?
Because they're comfortable.
What do we make people think about God? How do we act anywhere we are in the world? Do we lead a quiet life? Do we mind our own business? Do we work with our own hands?
No.
If we did those things, the Bible says we would have the respect of those who are on the outside. Amen? And that we wouldn't be dependent on anybody. Nobody but God. Amen? So if you have the gift of tongues, we welcome it. Speak in tongues. Somebody approached me one time, and I'm going to close with this. Somebody came to me one time and they wanted to come to Running for Christ and teach on tongues. I told them I don't have a problem with that at all. As long as all of your teaching comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When they went and read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, they rescinded their offer. Because they had misunderstood it. They thought tongues was a secret language between you and God, something Satan couldn't hear. But after they read it, see, they had listened to their pastor. And he had blew tongues up to a place where it shouldn't be. right? And then they're here. Now, what did that tell you? You should go home and read your Bible yourself. Don't just listen to your pastor. Go home, open your Bible, and see if what he said was true. God does not mind if you're a Berean. You remember the Bereans, right? Paul, the great apostle Paul, came and preached to them. But what did they do? They went home to search the scriptures to see if what he said lined up with what God said. So they withheld their amen, Jeffrey, till next week. They walked into church the next week and said amen. Paul, like, what do you mean amen? That stuff you said last week, amen. So search the word of God. And find out what the Word of God says. And you will find that God just wants us to speak plain language to unsaved people. And he wants us to take the Word of God, okay, which is prophecy, and teach it. See, the epistles, the book we're in right now, was not written to unsaved people. You have to be super skillful to use the epistles to try to lead somebody to Christ. You can use the epistles to teach a point, but if they don't have the Holy Spirit, as 1 Corinthians 2 told us what? They're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. So prophecy is for believers. And in that respect, he's talking about what I'm doing right now. Unsaved folks cannot understand anything but the Gospels and maybe some Old Testament history. You need to have the Holy Spirit to be able to see what they can't see. Yes. To hear what they can't hear. To fathom in your mind what they can't even conceive. Why? Because it gets revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. What I'm preaching to you right now, the Holy Spirit is going to take you home and build on that.
Okay.
And you're going to understand why Paul made a whole chapter out of this. A whole chapter. To show them, look, these sign gifts you got that get people's attention, oh yes, they're good, and use them. But the gift that you really want is the gift of prophecy. To be able to plainly speak the word of God to the unsaved, the gospel, and to teach the word of God to the saved, so that we all benefit. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for the gift of tongues. And we especially thank you for those who can interpret tongues so that all of us benefit from this great mystery that you're speaking between them and yourself. Father, they don't even understand. Paul said he prayed that they would not only be able to speak in tongues, but also to be able to interpret what they said so that the whole church can benefit from it. What good will it do us, Father, to speak 10,000 words in a language people don't understand versus 5 words that people do understand? Do you believe in Jesus? Those words right there, Father, are more valuable than 10,000 words that people cannot understand. So we thank you, Father, for the gift of tongues. We thank you for all of the gifts that you give us, because all of these help us to affect your will in this world. And your will is one, Father, and that is to take out of this world a people for yourself. And you have given us the gospel to preach to those who don't know you, and you've given us the epistles to teach to those who do. We pray, Lord, when you come back to get us, that we will understand the difference, and we will be able to use the gift that you gave us in love. So that when you return, we'll hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over that gift I gave you. Now come, enter into your master's joy. You've been faithful over that little gift. I'm going to make you master over many. Help us, Lord, to understand what exponential growth and the blessing it has over sequential growth. Help us to know, Father, that you want to get us to the place where it's more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.